Good morning, people out in radio land. I used to hear brother.
I've heard that many times.
C.C. Wilcutt.
Yeah.
Radio land. Well, if you're in the land, you're in a good land. America's a wonderful place to live, and I hope you're from Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Arkansas. Can you name the other states?
No, that's enough, Will.
But anyhow, we want to welcome you today. It's always a pleasure. And I meet some folks from time to time that do listen to us, and that's encouraging because when we do this, we don't know who's listening to us or anybody listening to us. Holler that back at us if you're listening to us. We don't need your money. Our program is financed and paid for. And by the Pickens Baptist Association. So, we don't need you to send any money, so don't be afraid to write a little card and say, I listen to you and I enjoy your program.
We won't send you any propaganda.
No, you won't.
We won't sell your name and address to nobody else. I guarantee you.
We won't do that whatsoever. You'll just be encouraging to us if you feel led to. And especially if you've been saved. We've got folks that have trusted Jesus as a result of this lessons and that we teach. And man, don't that just set us on?
It does.
That's like saying sickle to a bulldog.
Amen. Absolutely.
And two of these fellas do look like bulldogs. Nah.
Yeah, y'all do.
Moving right along.
I wish we had television. Y'all would really enjoy it.
No, we got faces for radio. Trust me.
Yeah.
I'm taking your word for it. But anyhow, we just finished last week up with a series on commitment. And now we're starting now, this being December the 6th, 2020, dealing with grief. Dealing with grief. All of us have to deal with grief. Every single one of us deal with grief at some point in time. And to some degree or other, we deal in grief. And we're going to be studying out Psalms 116. So you find in your book, your Bible, if you are not driving down the road, I don't want you trying to follow us in the scripture and drive down the road. You might run over Aunt Bessie's cow or something.
Don't get distracted. That's right.
So you just listen if that's the case. If you're driving down the road, dealing with grief. Let you know who we are. I imagine that would be important to you. Brother Pinion, what is your name?
I am Brandon Pinion. I am pastor of Mooresbridge Baptist Church and delighted to be there and delighted to be here also.
And at your age, glad to be anywhere. Here we are. I am Mike Hall. I am pastor at New Salem Baptist Church in Reform, Alabama. And I thank God for the opportunity to be with you today.
And I'm Herschel Owen, Gordo, Alabama. And always, it is a joy to come and talk to you about the Lord and to talk to you about the Bible. So we're going to be studying, as I said, Psalms 116, if you can follow along with us, dealing with grief. But we wouldn't dare get started on this lesson without having a word of prayer. So, Mike, would you lead us in prayer?
Be glad to. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come and discuss your word.
Amen.
Lord, I just pray that everything we say and do today, God, will be according to your will, and that, Father, you'll use us to reach whomever needs it with your word today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. As we go through life, we're going to experience the good times and bad times. Even with all of the ups and downs, we serve a God who never quits caring for us. Can you imagine that? He loves you, Mike.
Well, he does, and I don't know why, but he does.
And he loves Brother Brown.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And
but
pray.
I'm like Mike. I just have trouble digesting that.
Amen. I have a hard time understanding it. I really do. Yes, I do.
Well, the old song says, why does he love us so? I don't know. Why did the cat to Calvary go for me?
Don't sing, just say it.
Oh, wait. I sure was counting on singing.
Well, that's all right.
Not the first 10 minutes here.
Save it for later. And just over an hour, we'll let you sing all you want.
I'll tell you what, you sing and I'll take the offering.
They're reaching for the radio to cut it off or pull a plug or do something if I even mention singing. So, and they're wise to do that. I must confess my singing voice has left me. I don't know when it left me, at birth. But I tell you, my loving the Lord voice and wanting to tell people about Jesus, it didn't leave me, and it will not leave me. Mike, what is your definition of grief?
Well, wow, that's kind of tough, you know, because grief can come in so many different forms and handled in so many different ways. But grief is when times are tough, when you're walking through the valleys of what it might be. Somebody you love has died, maybe you're going through a time of sickness and sorrow. Who knows? So many ways grief comes in. But personal grief is one of the hardest roads that we have to travel on in this life.
And it was brought on by sin, and we'll tell you about that.
Let me tell you what grief is.
Okay.
Was with me. I've been knowing for years that my kidneys were failing.
Yeah.
And I would not relent to it. I kept going to the doctor. He'd give me medicine, he'd change medicine, and I'd take different medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And they continued progressively to get worse. Now, grief to me was the fact that I had to change my whole lifestyle, and I had to accept the fact that I had to have some help and get them to functioning to where I could experience more of life.
Right.
But the grief that I shared in that, having to change everything about, I had been busy, I had been in my pastorates down through the years doing anything and everything that needed to be done as it needed to be done. But then I had to stop.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was grief.
I can
look back on it now, soon to be 2 years.
Right.
And I can rejoice in the fact that the good that the dialysis has done for me and has given me a lease on life to live longer and enjoy the relationships I've had during that time.
Amen.
But when I stopped long enough to realize that I had to change,
Yeah. That
was grief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having to face that must have been a terrible thing.
It was. It really was, Herschel. And I hit the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, boom.
Yeah.
And the fact that the improvements that it has made in my mental ability along with my physical ability
mm-hmm.
has been a blessing that I scarcely can describe.
And thank God for that dialysis, because you yourself have stated you wouldn't be here today.
Oh, I'd be 6 foot under.
Yeah, were it not for that.
Yeah.
So God's been merciful and brought you through that grief, and now you can rejoice and you can share what God is doing. And Mike, you went through some grief too. Let's just go ahead and deal with this.
Burn
and all. And
oh yeah, Lord, yeah. When you when your whole life changes, as Brian was talking about just now, you know, there's things in life that we kind of sail through when we're young and we're mm-hmm. bulletproof and gonna live forever, and we ain't got to worry about nothing. And
mm-hmm.
you know, if you get a little sick, you go to the doctor, he fixes it. You ain't got, you know, everything's good. But then something in life comes along that just knocks you completely down, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's when you find out what grief really becomes, because I'll never forget, because I just knew when I got burned I was going to be the ugliest monster that ever walked down the street.
Well, first of all, you didn't even know whether you were going to live or not.
Had no earthly idea. In fact, wasn't supposed to. Wouldn't know way it was going to happen, but it did. God, with his loving hand, just reached down and touched, and when I got out of the hospital, I was tough to look at. I had an old friend of mine that runs a saw shop down in Reform, you know, remember old Bud?
Mm-hmm.
And he come to see me one afternoon, and they, you know, just, of course, they brought him right on into the living room where I was, and wife did, thinking nothing of it. And I noticed he didn't stay but just a minute, man. He was gone, and I thought, what in the world? Did I say make him mad or whatever? But he made it to the back porch, they said, and down he went, because he was just looking at me, you know, and what the burns had done. And that combined with worrying about my wife and what she was going to take it. And
we can't imagine what you went through.
And she too went through a time of deep depression after that, and she looked at me one day and she just said, if I wasn't such a coward, I'd go in there and kill myself. Boy, I'm glad you're a coward. I said, get out of this house, go ride around, see your daddy and mama, do something.
Yeah.
Do it quick.
Right.
But anyway, all of that said, it's tough. It's tough when you realize that your whole life is just changed completely.
But yet, neither of you gave in to it.
No. And it's only by the grace of God.
Yeah.
It's only by the grace of God. Brandon and I, he was talking about that a couple of years ago. We prayed together on a regular basis, praying. And it was that way when I was in that condition of my burns and so forth. And, you know, man, everybody come there, I'd say, before they leave, I say, now let's pray. Let's pray, because to me, that's the only thing that got me through those difficult days and weeks and years.
Well, God's the only one got me through it, too.
Absolutely. You know,
along with, you know, friends like you and others.
Absolutely.
That encouraged me, come and sit with me when my last moments, I mean, you know, ready to go.
Absolutely. Yeah, Lord, just take me on right now. I'll be fine. Don't mind a bit.
Yeah.
Well, and folks, I don't know what your grief is. All of us have griefs of different kind. Mine has been on behalf of some family that either got out of God's will and have done some things that broke my heart and still breaks my heart. Or I've got a little granddaughter that has Crohn's disease. And to see her get sick as she does, I grieve over that.
Oh, it's
heartbreaking.
Tough. It's tough.
Heartbreak.
I grieve over that. So if you want somebody to pray for, are they three old preachers talking to you right now?
And
we could use a barrel full of prayers. So you just lift us up, and we don't know your situation, but we'll pray for you also. Now, dealing with grief, how do you deal with it? Now, Mike shared a little bit about how he did, and Brother Bannon, and I've gone through prayer and crying and weeping and everything else, but I've come out to where I trust God.
Amen.
I trust God.
Listen.
And whatever tomorrow holds, he's holding the tomorrow. I trust him. So as we go through life, we're going to experience sometimes the good, sometimes are bad. But when we have all these ups and downs, we are not helpless in the sense there's no hope. We have a God who never quits caring for us. Never. Never. Now, during the Thanksgiving and Christmas season, a lot of people go through grief.
Different kinds of grief. Boy, I tell you what, it's a tough time of year for a lot of folks.
It is.
Most of us, you know, we look joyously for Thanksgiving and Christmas to come along, but for a lot of people, it's more sad than it is glad.
And I'm sure we're
more
talking
suicides in December than any other month.
And I'm sure we're talking to some people. And please, if that thought comes to your mind about taking your own life, you remember your life belongs to God. And what you think is a disaster and there's no hope for you, well, we got news for you. There's marvelous hope for you. Our God can carry us through anything. I'm not going to make a salad of it and tell you, if you'll just pray, everything will go away and you'll be happy as a lark. I didn't say that.
Not at all.
But God will see you through it.
Yes, he will.
When you get to the point, Herschel, that you're willing to dump it all on him.
Right.
And I don't mean that dumping in a bad way.
No.
That's right.
But just let God take care of the whole thing. Then we'll be better, and he will too.
Well, it's back like old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego mm-hmm. when it was fixing to go into the fire, mm-hmm. you know. And, boy, they just looked at the king and said, King, he can save us. The Lord can save us. But if he don't, we're still not going to bow down to you. We're still going to serve him.
That's right.
And when you get to that point to know, you know, I've prayed with a lot of folks that had cancer. I've had it myself, and I prayed about it. And I know what God can do. I can hold a person's hand that's drawing their last breath with an emaciated body that has just been riddled with cancer and know that they're going to die right away. And I know that God could put life back in their limbs and could heal their body just as healthy as it was the minute they come into this earth. I know he can, but sometimes he don't. In fact, most of the time, the natural process goes on. But God can suspend those laws of nature if he wants to, because he's done it for me, and he's done it for a lot of others that I've seen.
Yeah.
But I also know that when I trust God, it means that I trust him for whatever way he knows is best for the outcome to be.
And he knows what's best.
A lot of I've had people tell me, well, preacher, you know, you said, but your will be done, because you're just looking for a cop-out because you know God's not really there. And I said, no, you listen to me. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you right now. I say that because I mean it.
Right.
I mean it. No matter what.
And you know God's there.
I know God's there. And I know if I just trust him that he's going to work things out for the best. And it's going to be the best. He promised me that. In Romans 8:28, I held on to that like a lifeline when I was burned.
For we know,
we don't have to question it. Don't say, for we think, we know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. And I know that's a fact. I know it's a fact. I've lived it many times over and over and over and over and over again. Most of the time, it didn't go just like I prayed that it would.
No.
Most of the time, it didn't. But every time it come out for the best.
But that's it. God already worked it around.
He already had it figured out. Absolutely. As I tell people all the time, I couldn't tell you how many times I have said, boy, if I'd have only known then what I know now,
right.
I wouldn't have been so worried about all this.
Yeah.
Well, what am I going to do? Well, listen, just go ahead and know now
right.
what you're going to know then, because when you get there, you're going to look back and say, wow, God, you knew something I didn't know. And it's amazing what God will do.
Well, isn't it, what's his name? It doesn't. He's no lump of coal.
Yeah, I'm just an old lump
but
of coal.
Now, Diamond, if you, listen, you wouldn't have been the person that you are now, if you hadn't have gone through that. And God hadn't pulled you out of it.
No, not at all.
You wouldn't either, Brother Brennan.
None of us.
No, we wouldn't.
Even
you wouldn't either, Herschel. No. You wouldn't have the sympathy.
No.
And understanding.
No.
And the kindness.
No.
Or any of those things.
No.
If we hadn't have gone through
right.
what we've gone through.
Yeah, I don't care if you're 27 or 77. You still got ways that God is going to teach you compassion and going to teach you patience and going to show you and raise your faith. I'm telling you the truth. Only God can increase your faith the way God
Amen.
Has increased our faith.
Man, that just made me want to sing.
Ooh, hallelujah. Song. Go ahead. Sing it, boy. Sing it.
Break out.
Sing it. Ooh. Go ahead.
I'm not going to, but I will quote it through it all. through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
I've learned to trust in God.
Amen. Hey,
man, that'll get you through Woo. Them times. That'll
yeah. do it. I think about that old song, I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Yeah.
I learned those lessons, buddy. I've learned them. I've bought and paid for them. And I treasure them. I treasure them. I do treasure them. And I thank God for them.
But I can tell Psalms, the writer of Psalms 116, I can tell you that he went through some grief. I don't know what it was. We'll never know in this life. If it's important, we'll know in eternity. Probably won't be important then because he's already gone through it and come out a winner on the other side. But he had some personal grief to write this psalm in the way that he did. Three things I want us to relay to you today. First of all, relaying our grief to God. We need to tell him. He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. Now, I know God knows my troubles. He knows all about me. He knows my heartaches, my sorrows, my pain, my joy. But he said, come to him.
Yeah.
Come. You're not going to worry him. You're not going to hit him with a question he can't answer.
That's right.
So let's relay our grief to God when these times come. Then we want to look at revealing the goodness of God to other people too. Not only us, but to other people. And then responding to God's help in our life, the way that he's helped us, the way that he's helping other people. So, Mr. Michael Hall, read that first series of scriptures.
All right, in Psalms 116, that's 116th Psalm, verse 1, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
That's right. Now, so you know from reading that he's not quoting somebody else's grief. He's experienced.
Now, are we dealing with one of David's psalms?
Possibly. I don't think it says in here who the writer is, but it's possibly his.
Sounds like one of his.
It does sound like him because he talks about the sorrows of death compassing me and the gates of hell getting a hold on me. David, he had been to that place of Sheol, a place of hell.
Oh, yeah.
He had lived through it. Yes, he had.
And enemies on all sides.
Everywhere. And if even one of them saw him, they'd kill him instantly.
They would. And but he was looking back, and probably it was David, as we've all agreed on. He's looking back, and he's remembering in those first four verses.
If you look at it, verse 3, one of the things that the sorrows of death compassed me, then he says, the gates of hell got hold of me. You know, I that sounds a whole lot like old David. He said, I found trouble and sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
David had certainly lived a life that would lead him into trouble and sorrow.
He found it even when he
wasn't looking for it. I guarantee you. I mean, he sat there and watched. He watched a woman taking a bath one night and went
cost
from
him.
There, and it cost him tremendously. The gates of hell will get a hold of you when you least expect it, brother and sister. You better listen to me. And I tell this in my church all the time. I can say, bad choices, and they'll reply, bad consequences.
Mm-hmm.
That's always the case. And let me tell you something. The worst choice you can make is not to relay your grief and your troubles on God. That's the worst choice you can make, is to say, well, I got this, and I don't want to bother God, or I just think I can do it better, you know. We all just have some idea that, man, you know, I know what's best for me. And I'm afraid if I turn it loose and let God handle it, he might want me to do something I don't want to do. That's the worst choice you can make.
Is it dumb or what?
My wife hates this word, but I got to say it. It's plumb stupid.
Yeah.
She hates that word. When I use it in the pulpit, she'll frown at me. But
well,
it is plumb stupid.
It is. It really is.
It is.
Sometimes there's only one way to put it, and that's to put it like it is.
Tell it like it is, brother, and that is the truth.
So as David looked back, he's remembering. He's remembering, first of all, those things that y'all have talked about. We don't know what all he went through. We don't know.
Well, let me ask Brandon something right quick. Brandon, if God, when your kidney started failing, could God have stopped that from happening?
Well, certainly.
Could God have given you a new kidney and just healed them and made them just like it?
Well,
and
certainly.
You would have never had no problem with you,
yes,
from your
sir.
Kidneys
sure
at least.
Could.
Sure could. But he didn't. Instead, he did what David said. He inclined his ear unto me.
He listened.
He listened. Okay, Brandon, what you going to do, son? What you going to do?
Yeah.
Are you going to call on me, or are you going to handle this yourself? You going to trust them doctors, or are you going to trust me?
Well, I did a little of both.
You did a little of both, just like I did, and we all have.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I can frost it over.
Yeah. Certainly.
And say I depended on God, but I didn't.
No.
Well, you're human.
If I had depended on God, I wouldn't have went through the learning process of the power and the person that God is and is available to us if we appropriate him as that help.
If we just go ahead and call on him to start with. We wouldn't have to go through a whole lot of the junk that we go through.
I agree 100%.
But think about this, because this section, when we're talking about relaying our grief to God, telling him about it, if it wasn't for the looking back, would David have been as strong?
No,
as it was?
Certainly not. No.
So we talked about, now God could do that. He could.
That's
he
right,
could not
he could.
Let us go through anything, but it's for our benefit, although that's a hard word to say and a hard thing to understand, for us to go through those things where we have to look back.
I remember so well a little 11-year-old boy one time, and his granddad had just passed away. And to understand the story, the boy had been abandoned as a little child by his mom and dad. And his granddad had took care of him. Had been the best friend in the world he ever could be, and did everything for the child. And now the child at 11 years old is standing there by the side of his granddaddy's deathbed, looking at he had died at home. And he looked at me and he said, "Brother Mike, why?" That's the hardest question a preacher could ever be called on to answer, especially from and the child was sinned. Just as sincere as he could be, why? Why did God let my granddaddy die? I need him so bad. And, you know, that to me, you've got a lot of those questions. You have those folks out there listening to me right now that's got that same why. And, you know, I know this is not going to be easy for you to grasp, but please hear me. There'll be a day come when you'll either understand why or you'll realize you don't need to understand why. God has a plan. God has a purpose. Now, that young man is grown now, and he's an engineer and doing a great thing. He had some other kin folks that stepped up and provided for him and took care of him. But God has a plan, and I don't understand it. I don't understand it. But finally, the little boy looked at me, and he said, "Well, Brother Mike, I guess if the old folks didn't die, there wouldn't be no babies born." I thought, wow.
That's pretty deep for us.
It's mighty deep for a child. And I thought, okay, I couldn't answer the kid. I didn't know what to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was happy with that.
Yeah.
God had just given it to him right then, right there. And
well, we get in situations like that, Mike. And really, it ought to teach us more dependence on God.
Absolutely.
And more dedication to God than sometimes we have.
Yeah, that's true.
And we let it slide.
We do.
How about the little boy? And he was just a little bitty fella, 5 or 6 years old. He wasn't no theologian by any means, but he lost his special marble. Now, there's some of y'all old enough to know about marbles and playing marble. He lost his special marble. His grandmother saw him, and he had a face long enough he could eat buttermilk out of a churn without a straw. And she said to him, "Son, what's wrong?" He said, "Grandma, I lost my marble." She said, "Well, now, I ain't talking about your marbles like in your head.
Yeah, okay.
I've had folks tell me I'd lost my marble, too."
Amen.
But anyhow, she said, "Well, why don't you go upstairs and pray about it?" So he went up, and he was gone and gone and gone. And he came on back, and she didn't say anything. But 3 or 4 days later, she said, "Son, did God tell you where to find your marble?" He said, "No, ma'am, but it made me not want to find it."
So sometimes that's what
he
does.
God's got the answer.
Yeah. Yep.
One way or the other, he's got the answer.
It's tough. It's tough.
It's a lot less priority.
That's right.
After he prayed.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
So we go through those kind of things, and we can all remember back the sicknesses that came and the near-death experience that loved ones have had. But he remembered, David did, and then he became aware about God's readiness to hear, and God was aware, because God, the Bible says, He heard. And you have never prayed a prayer, if you are a Christian and in God's will, you have never prayed a prayer but what God heard you. May have thought that he went off to Africa on a big game hunt or something, but no, he's still there. He's still there. God is right there. He heard you. So don't you be afraid to ask him, and he wants you to ask him.
And don't be afraid to trust him to answer your prayer the right
differently.
Way. Too many of us think that God didn't hear because he doesn't do just what we wanted to do when we wanted to do it.
We pray the prayer and tell him how to answer.
That's right. Yep, that's right. That's right.
And that don't work.
No, that don't work. That don't work.
But God was there. He was there all the time. The song said, "Man, I'm full of songs today. I believe the Lord's calling me in the music ministry."
Let's pray about that a little more.
I hope not.
Well, yeah. For other folks' sake, I hope not too. But the song said he was there all the time.
He was there all
the time.
Waiting
patiently in line.
Yeah.
He was
the old
there.
Blackwood Brothers. Mm-hmm. Boy, they did a great job.
He was there. He is there. Whenever we come to him and we say, "Lord, we can't handle it, but we're going to trust you to, however it turns out, we know you're going to do it. Another word in those verses, it says, he inclined unto me. What does it mean, inclined?
He kind of leaned toward me. He turned his ear toward me. He listened. A little girl came home from her mama's funeral, and there was no one left but her and her daddy. And she said, "Daddy, would you please sleep with me tonight? It's so dark and I'm so scared." And he said, "Sure, baby." And so he crawled in the bed beside of her. And in a minute she said, "Daddy, is your face toward me?" And he said, "Yes, sweetheart. My face is right next to your face." She just went right on to sleep. Now that's what David meant. Sometimes we get that feeling somehow that God has looked away or God's paying more attention to others than he is to us. Listen, that's a lie of Satan. God's face is toward you. His ear is inclined. He's listening. It's like, if somebody's about to draw their last breath and they try to say something and they hadn't hardly got the breath to say it, and you just kind of lean over and put your ear down real close where you can hear. That's what it is. God, in the hard, tough times of our life, God's just listening. He's holding his ear toward you. He's listening. He's waiting. Just, will they talk to me, or will they take care of themselves? Will they turn to me, or will they trust in other things? And that's, to me, that's the image I get from it.
I'm 86, and I remember, Mike, when you were talking about turning your face
each other.
I remember when I was just a kid, when it come up a thunderstorm, my daddy had tuberculosis when I was a little guy and survived it and came through and lived a good life. But if it ever come up a thunderstorm and lightning close enough to where it woke me up,
yeah,
daddy was gone. Mother was there. And it'd scare me to death.
Oh, yeah.
And I would flee to her bedroom and her bed. And she'd open the cover. I'd jump in. And you talking about warm.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
my mother was a little heavy set. And she was warm. And I remember it to this day.
Sure.
The comfort and the care and the love that experience gave to me. That's where God is.
That's exactly where God is.
What a story about Mama. What a story about God.
Yeah. That's the way God is with us.
If we
will depend on Him and take our needs to Him.
We lose that sometime, though, because we say, Lord, now instantly fix this the way I want it fixed. God, you let me down. We never realized the warmth and his closeness.
Oh, man.
And his arms around us, holding us up, supporting us.
Yeah.
That's what, when you look back at grief, and you won't see it maybe you don't see it today, but I'll tell you, if you'll just think about it and listen to his word and read it, you'll discover that he's turning the covers back right now and saying,
yes,
you come to me. Come on to me under you.
Climb in.
All you that are weary and heavy laden.
Snuggle up.
Yep.
Just come on and snuggle
up. Absolutely.
Yep.
Man, what a picture of God and his love. And I hope you get that picture, you that are listening. I hope we'll get it ourselves as we teach it, and we'll trust it. Well, we need to, David was looking ahead because he had the commitment to call on God in that B part of that second verse there. He said, I'll call on him. I'll call on him as long as I live. I'm going to call on God. And then look at life in general. He talks about the choice of calling on God again in 4a there. He said, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. So here we go, remembering, relaying our grief to God, and then remembering God, he don't just halfway do stuff. He does it right, whether we understand it or not. We better move on, Mike, to that revealing the goodness of God to others.
Oh, David was like Paul Harvey. He said, and now the rest of the story.
Yeah.
In verse 5, he said, I called on him in verse 4, he says, deliver my soul. And then he says in verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's one of those where you just say, stop and meditate.
Yeah.
Think about that for a little bit, because there's nothing there that David didn't cover. He covered everything from the death to the tears to the stumbling. And then he says, I'm just going to walk before the Lord. I'm just going to crawl in that covers, and me and the Lord's going to snuggle up, and that's the way it's going to be. And it ain't going to be nothing else but.
What does he mean by this? Gracious is the Lord. Does that go back to the word grace?
It fully is the word grace.
And what is grace?
God's riches at Christ's expense.
So that's good.
So we have that, don't we? God's
riches
at Christ's expense.
And the thing of it is, Herschel, is the abounding or the abundance of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Never ending, never ceasing. limitless as, no, even more so than the universe.
But he just opened his hands and says, it's available to you.
But you know, you got to go, though, back just a verse or two. What does David say? Mm-hmm. I called on him. Mm-hmm. He inclined his ear, and I called on him. You know, how many times do we think, well, God's just going to do it. I don't have to behave myself in a certain way. I don't have to pray.
Who sent that message?
The devil himself. Sure. The devil himself. How many blessings have we missed while God was just waiting right there with it in his hand to give it to us, and we never asked for it? Oh, my goodness. We go through life just, I remember one time, and I was in business. I owned a couple of radio stations, and I was just, you know, having some financial difficulty. Let me tell you something. If you ever own a radio station, you're always going to have financial difficulty. But we were doing okay, but it had got to the point to where it was just worrying me day and night, and I didn't know how exactly what I was going to do. And anyway, and I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I connived. I thought about ways I could get this loan or that line of credit and all this kind of stuff. And it just kept going over and over again because I owed the man I bought the radio station from $1.5 million is what I owed him. And I knew, you know, that included the collateral included my home and everything I owned. Right. You know, it would go to him, not just the radio station, if I were to default. Anyway, long story short, I prayed and I just said, God, I don't know what else to do. And every time I would pray, I would think, go talk to the man. But I wouldn't do it because I wanted to figure out a way. I wanted to figure out a way I could, you know, to make the money. Finally, one day, I just prayed. And I said, God, I'm going to go talk to him. I don't know nothing else to do. And it was like a load, a burden just come off of me. I went and talked to the man. And long story short, I just said, what would it take if I had the money to just pay you off? And he said, how much you got? I said, well, I know I could come up with $350,000 because I'd already talked to the bank, and that's all they'd do. I owed him $1.5 million.
Oh, man.
And he said, just write that down and go get the money. You know, God was just
so
waiting.
You've been all them times worrying when
all them times I had
already worked it
months.
Out.
I mean months. I had agonized over how I was going to lose my house and everything else. And I finally went and did what God was telling me to do. And I wrote it down. All the man had there on the little old table was a subscription form for Progressive Farmer Magazine. And I found enough space on that old prescription form, that old subscription form. I wrote on there, I will accept this amount of money for all debts owed to me by Mike Hall. And he called his wife in there and had her sign it. I left there floating 10 feet off the ground.
Man,
and then
I know
his lawyer called me and gave me one of the worst cussings a human's ever heard.
Oh,
but anyway.
He cost the lawyer money.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But I was okay. God had delivered me. But that's the way we are, folks. Listen, God's already got his ear turned toward you. He's listening. You say, well, I've turned it over to him. Have you?
Yeah.
Then trust him. If you have, then trust him. He's got this. He's got it.
A lot of times we say we've turned it over, but really we haven't. We say, now, Lord, I could trust you if you come up with that $1.5 million that I owe
that
man.
That's the only solution. I mean, it had to be.
I'll trust you then.
Yeah.
But he had a much better plan.
Oh, listen, God had such a great plan in mind that all I had to do was just trust him. Just trust him. A little girl called me one day. I was on the road to Columbus, and I was heading down the road and just couldn't get the hospital off my mind. The Pickens County Hospital in Carrollton, I could even smell how a hospital smells in my car. That's a fact. And I thought, well, what in the world, Lord, am I supposed to do? And finally I said, well, I don't know what to do. I turned around and went back to the hospital. And I got back to the Pickens County Hospital, and I went in, and you know, we had the chaplaincy thing going down there, and I went in, and I said, I'm one of the chaplains. She said, yeah, Mike, what you need? And I said, well, is there anybody here that needs a chaplain? She said, I'm so glad you're here. She said, there's a lady upstairs that's just so mad at God, she can't hardly stand it. Said, she's just so mad at God, she's just pacing the floor. I said, tell me. So I went to the intensive care unit, and the girl was just, she said, she knew me, I knew her. She said, Brother Mike, I don't understand it. I prayed, I've turned it over to God. My daddy's dying. And he just, I just know God's going to heal him, but he's dying. The doctor said it can't be long, and I don't understand that. God wouldn't do this to me. And she just went on. She was so mad. And I said, listen, would you pray with me? Let's just pray. And I prayed, and literally I prayed, God, I want you to heal John. I said, I know that you can, and I know that you will. And I said, I just want you to heal him right now. I want you to free him completely of this lung cancer. And I said, I want you to just completely heal him. And boy, she was just, amen, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I said, amen. And I looked her in the eyes and I said, God's fixing to heal him. Now, are you ready? Oh, yeah, 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 I'm ready. And I mean, within seconds, he died.
He was healed.
And she looked at me and bore the anger in her face. And I said, your daddy does not have cancer.
Right.
I said, he was a man who loved God. And I said, right now, I said, not only does he not have cancer, he don't have arthritis.
Right.
Because he had had a lot of that. And I said, he is completely and totally healed. And boy, she just broke down and went to crying. And she said, I just never thought of it that way. And I said, that's what God wanted you to know. We're talking a situation that God's timing only, could have worked out that way.
Oh, yeah. You could have gone on to Mississippi. And
yeah.
Could have.
I
could
said
have.
The same thing.
Could have. But she just, and she just went to praising God and just praising God. So,
I'm thankful that you were sensitive enough to the leadership of the Spirit to do what God wants you to do.
And it was amazing to me. I mean, it just blew my mind. It did. It just blew my mind. But we've got to be willing to trust God in those times.
That requires sensitivity.
It does. It does. It does. Absolutely, it does.
It requires practice in what you preach.
As bad as you want God to answer your prayer, He wants to answer it a whole lot more than you realize, than you do. But he wants to answer it the right way. He wants to do it in a way that it's going to fulfill the purposes that is the right purposes in life.
Well, suppose you had a boy that was 4 or 5 years old, and he came and said, Daddy, I was looking at our neighbor. He's got one of them big heartaches. I know, Daddy, you love me, and I know you're going to get me one of them big heartaches. Well, Daddy ain't going to buy that 4 or 5-year-old kid a big heartache.
No.
If it didn't do anything else, it'd fall over on him and kill him.
That's right.
But the kids don't understand. He thinks that Daddy's just going to do it. Because he asked him to do it.
That's right.
He doesn't see the side about that thing falling over on him or him trying to get on it, which the kid couldn't do.
That's right.
But that's the way God is. A lot of times I've asked him for stuff.
Oh, sure.
That.
I have too.
I've asked God for
we
some
all have.
Real foolish things when it came right down to it. And sometimes I didn't understand why.
Yeah.
Why did he not?
Yeah, absolutely.
But as I look back, now, I say, God, it don't matter whether I understand it or not. I trust you.
That's what
I'm just trusting.
Oh, David says that in verse 6, the Lord preserves the simple. That's, simple
and we
are.
And we got to get simple if we're going to have any peace.
Simple-minded.
That's
simple-minded.
Exactly right.
Keep it simple. Just keep it simple.
So,
well, he goes on then after he says that, Mike, and says, I was brought low, and he helped me.
And he helped me. That's right. Sometimes we got to get low.
And sometimes we got to get simple, too.
Sometimes we got to get simple. That's right. That's right. Keep it simple. When you pray, trust the Lord. We want to pray and still trust ourselves because We want to pray for the Lord to do what we want done.
If he'll just dispense
the way we want it done.
The way we want it done.
If he'll just push a button and dispense all those things I ask for him, quote, I will trust him. No.
No.
No. Faith comes. No. Faith comes sometimes through the fire.
It does. It does. And God is, I've said it so many times, but God is already at the answer.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't just have the answer.
Right.
He's already at the answer. You know, he's so far ahead of us that we just can't comprehend it. We really can't.
Well, what about this? We better tell him about Jesus, too, somewhere in this, about salvation. Brother Pinion, what is the greatest thing a man needs? He needs it more than he needs being healed of lung cancer or heart.
Well, right now, it certainly would be a lot of stock in Amazon or Microsoft or any of those outfits.
I know something better than that, though.
That's what I'm fixing to say.
That's what I want to hear you say.
And but God has made provisions for us over not just the short term, but over the long term.
Amen. Eternity.
And that long term is just simply this. Jesus Christ lived and lived a sinless life.
Amen.
He died a death for us in our place.
Right.
Because he didn't want us to die and spend eternity in hell. He died, he arose from the grave, and the thing that we have to do is trust him.
Amen.
Ask him to forgive us our sins. Just pledge that we're going to live for him the best we can with his help throughout the remaining part of our life, and that we're depending on him not just in life but also in death.
That's right.
And when Jesus died on the cross, he took my place.
Amen.
And all I have to do is trust him and turn my life over to him. He's never made a mistake.
Mm-mm.
He's not going to start now with me. He's just going to keep on going if I keep on trusting.
Amen. That's right.
And salvation is just that simple. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Tell him you'll live for him and serve him. Do the best you can with it under his leadership and guidance, and go on with life.
Amen.
Brother Pena, what if I, down the road, do what I have done, and that is get in a backslidden condition? Does he then remove my name from the heirs, and now I'm not a child of his anymore?
No, that's not the case. He'll look at you, and he'll look at me, and he'll say, hey, big boy, you made a mistake. And the spirit that led us to salvation is the same spirit that guides us to victory in circumstances just like that. We are going to make mistakes. We are going to have problems.
Sure we are.
But in the midst of it all, the Lord is there, and he's going to lead us if we will do it, let him.
So, amen.
So what I think I heard you say, he don't look at my ledger and say, Herschel Owen, oh, he got one good thing over here. He got 17 bad ones over here. He got one more good one, 14 bad ones. When he looks at my salvation, he sees the blood of his son that paid for yesterday's sins, today's sins, and forever sins.
Exactly. He's not one that has your name written down on a Sunday school roll somewhere, and you get a star for doing this, or a star for doing that, or a star for doing another. He don't work that way. He gives us his presence, his power, and his person for our leadership and guidance when we turn our hearts and lives over to him, confessing our sins, and crying out to him for forgiveness.
And he don't write it on a chalkboard so that he can brush it out.
No. No.
It's written in the blood of Jesus.
It won't, there's no eraser.
It won't come out.
There's no eraser.
All right, Mike, I know we're in some, and please, if you're not a Christian, you're listening to us, you may be a drug addict, a drunkard, you may have committed all kinds of sins, but we're telling you, if you come to him right now and say, God, you help my unbelief, you help me to believe as I ought to, so that I can be forgiven, he will forgive you right now.
Right now.
On the spot.
Yep.
All right, Mr. Michael, read us that last part about responding to God's help in our grief.
Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord.
All right, so first thing, as we respond to God's help in our grief, we need to recognize that we are God's children, and as God's children, we're precious to God. I've got children, I've got grandchildren, I've got great-grandchildren. Every single one of them, if I know my heart, I'd give my last penny for them, I'd give my life for them. But I don't love perfectly like God does.
No. No, you don't.
And it's amazing. I'm precious in his sight. Ah, Herschel
that
Owen,
is amazing.
Born in Burnwell, Alabama.
That is amazing. Whoa.
They ought to have a plaque in Burnwell.
I guarantee they ought to have a plaque in Burnwell.
They probably got some outstanding warrants for me down there.
No. No,
I wasn't old enough to get warrants down there. Well, we need to recognize that we're God's children. We are precious. We need to be ready to serve God as a servant and as a rescued man. We need to reverence God by giving him thanksgiving and trust. Thanksgiving and trust. We need to just be willing to come to him and say, now, Lord, I don't love you as much as I want to. And I don't serve you as good as I ought to. And I'm not all that I ought to be. But I want you, Lord, to know I love you. And I thank you for forgiving my sins, saving me, giving me an opportunity to tell other people about Jesus. Somebody's going to come into your path today. And you're going to have a chance to share with them about the love of God. And do it gladly. Do it with a heart that is filled with compassion for that person who may not even yet understand the depth of their sin and the depth of hell's eternity and the length of it and the awfulness of it. They may not yet understand the grace and the greatness and the joy of heaven, where there'll be no more death, be no more crying, no more sadness, no more sorrow, no more grief. No more grief when we're there with the Lord. You just today tell him, say, Lord, either if you're lost, tell him you're asking and pleading with him to save you and forgive you and to write your name in his Lamb's Book of Life. If you're saved, tell him, Lord, I'll serve you as best I can. I'll serve you with your help. I'll serve you in a way that you'd be pleased with. And I'm going to tell you something. It'll set you free.
Amen.
It'll set you free. You won't be a perfect Christian. You won't be a perfect truster. Because there's times in my life when I have to struggle with this faith.
Amen.
Struggle with fears.
We all do.
We do. And we're human. But we serve a God who will never forsake us or never leave us or will never leave us in a method that he can't rescue us if it's his will. And like Mike said a little bit ago, his healing may come differently from our way we think it ought to be. but it'll be best, whatever God does. I hope you'll trust him in your grief that you're going through right now. And join us next week, right back here on the radio, as we talk more about the grace of God.